You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Throughout American history, the Upper Mississippi River has played an important economic and cultural role for residents of western Wisconsin and beyond. Some would even say the river has taken on a life all its own. Our next guest wanted to dig into the colorful history of the Upper Mississippi River, from steamboats to small towns and everything in between. In a new book, he shares what he's learned about the uniquely Midwestern slice of the nation's most important river. Dennis McCann is a journalist and freelance writer based in Bayfield, Wisconsin. He's the author of several books. His latest, This Storied River, Legend and Lore of the Upper Mississippi. Dennis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Well, you're specifically focusing on our part of the Mississippi here, the Upper Mississippi. What's so special about this part of the river?
Well, it's the part that was most familiar to me, which was the easiest, approach for me to take. When I decided to do this, I just sort of arbitrarily said, we'll start in Dubuque and Galena and go north. Mm-hmm. And I've been a number of places south of there, and I refer to those in the book as well. But it just, there's something about that binds the four states together, and that's why.
And you've covered a lot of history in this book. How much has this part of the river changed since humans first settled in the area?
It's completely changed. You know, the river used to run wild. And it was, they used to say that it was so wild that it had all these channels and islands, and it would change direction if it wanted to. You could have a farm on one side, and eventually the next year it would be on the other side of the river. The Mississippi doesn't have linear banks like a lot of rivers that you think about. But what they did to change it so much is when they made it a shipping route and put in the locks and dams, they completely took away the free flow. And so now what you have is a series of a couple dozen pools, and it's still beautiful and it's still fun to be out on, but it's different completely from what it was like.
Before we get into some of the stories you share, can you share your story? You drove up and down the river. You floated up and down the river. Talk about your experiences on the Upper Mississippi.
Well, I spent a lot of time there when I was with the Milwaukee Journal and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I was often on the road the last 10 years especially, but even before that. And so one year I was just doing a series of stories around the borders of Wisconsin. So I said the Mississippi is the border, so I rented a houseboat in Alma and spent a couple days doing that. In 2004, when they had the recreation of the Grand Excursion, which was a riverboat flotilla that started in the Quad Cities in 1854, when they were just trying to expose the river to the upper class, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They had the recreation of that 150 years later, and I took part in that. And that was 4 days on boats coming up the river to as far as La Crosse, where we got off. Four long days of banjo music and just kind of poking along slowly, but it was just wonderful.
I think when people think of Mississippi River and history, they're going to think of that image of the steamboat.
Right. The steamboats are what everybody associates, especially when you look at Mark Twain and his famous line about every boy on the river wants to be a steamboat man. And that was a relatively short-lived period, but it was a very vibrant period because there were so many, hundreds and hundreds of boats, once they finally figured out how to get upriver as well as down.
And you tell the story of one of those steamboatmen, Diamond Joe Reynolds, and people think of this like boisterous, hard-drinking, hard-bitten character. This was not Diamond Joe Reynolds.
No, the reason I wrote about Diamond Joe is that most people know about the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, and so that's what they associate with the name. But in his day, he was probably the premier riverboat man. He was a grain shipper, and in order to guarantee that his grain could go where he wanted it to go, he bought a boat and then eventually developed a line and became quite a figure on the river. And he famously did not gamble, despite the fact that there's a casino named after him. He didn't drink, and he said he didn't swear much. But he was a colorful guy, and everybody thought he was Diamond Joe because he wore big diamonds, but it was not the case. It was just the way that he signed his name that distinguished that he had two little marks that looked like a diamond next to it.
Not diamonds, didn't buy or sell diamonds, and he didn't gamble with diamonds.
He certainly did okay for himself along the way, but he did not dabble in diamonds.
Let's talk some about the scenery. Driving up and down the Great River Road and stopping off the parks on either side of the river, can you share some of your favorite scenic views of the river?
Oh, the one that comes first to mind is in Alma at Buena Vista Park, which is up on the bluff. I forget how many feet up, but you have just this commanding view both ways, and you get to see the lock and dam in the historic little town of Alma. And another one would be over on the Iowa side. If you go to McGregor and cross the river from Prairie du Chien and go up to Pike's Peak, and there's an overlook there that's quite dramatic, and it hangs out over the river. And you stand at that, and you're looking down at the confluence of the Wisconsin River and the Mississippi. And if you just sort of close your eyes for a minute, you can think of the first explorers canoeing by and things like that. And it's just a beautiful area.
Talking to Dennis McCann, his new book is called This Storied River, Legend and Lore of the Upper Mississippi. Dennis, throughout human history, rivers are a place where we humans like to settle, to build our communities. Can you talk about some of the history, pre-European even, of people settling along the upper Mississippi?
Well, the rivers were always highways before there were such things. And so that's why they were so important. Explorations of the United States were done on rivers because that's how you could get around for the most part. Lewis and Clark, famously paddled around in the West, and it was the same here. Natives used the rivers for many, many years before white people came along and needed them for the same reason. So it's just a matter of they were a highway system before there was such.
Now, I understand from your book we're sitting in Wisconsin's capital right
Correct.
Now. Didn't have to be that way. There were some plans to situate our capital on the river.
Right, down at...
Or next to the river.
Next to the river, right. I mean, there were several other places that were considered as capitals for Wisconsin, but the first governor, Nelson Dewey, was from Cassville, and he had a place down there called Stonefield, which is now a state historic park. And there was an effort for a brief period to make the capital down there. Didn't happen, and... But he was the first governor, and so they get a little credit for that.
And do they? There are monuments to him there now.
Well, his former place, Stonefield, is a sort of a museum of farm life in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. early farm life in Wisconsin. So it's not necessarily a monument to him, but it was his place, and he's certainly remembered.
But he wasn't necessarily remembered later in his life. He got kind of the cold shoulder from his own party.
Yeah, He wasn't a party. An influential party figure. They sort of settled on him as the first governor, and he later went to a party convention and was sort of ignored, and he went home and never came back to Madison for those things again. He's kind of a tragic figure in some ways. His wife left, and he lost contact with his son, and so I think he probably died a lonely man.
Mm. And you also write about an economic boom that I'd heard a little bit about it. I wasn't that familiar with it. The Great Button Boom that was affected La Crosse and other cities along the upper Mississippi.
All along there, yeah. I think the sort of the epicenter of it was Muscatine, Iowa, mm-hmm. where there is still a museum dedicated to that subject. But they would, before they had such things as plastic buttons, they would use clamshells. And there was a German immigrant who perfected the system of making buttons out of these. And... when they started doing that, they had factories up and down the river. There was a major one in La Crosse, and they would set up camps along the river, and the clammers would go out and bring in millions of these clamshells and sort them and treat them and send them to the factories, and then they would have women sitting there turning them into buttons, and buttons shipped all across the country.
I want to bring on a caller. Doug is on the line in Lancaster. Doug, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I absolutely love this subject. I ride a motorcycle. I live in southwestern Wisconsin. I'm on the river road almost every weekend when the weather starts getting nice. And I love that you mentioned Buena Vista. That's one of my favorite stops. But there's another one just a little bit south of there. If you go down to Guttenberg, that also is an overlook. Usually there's somebody there selling fresh honey. And there's a gorgeous overlook right over there as well. You can see the lock over at Guttenberg.
Right. There's a park along the river there that the women in the community established very early on. And it was really great planning because you can just walk for more than a mile or so up the river. And there's benches facing the water. And you can sit all day and watch boats go by. And it's a great place to watch the lock because it's right in the center of town.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call. And that reminds me, you tell the story of the spelling of Guttenberg, named after Gutenberg, the printing press guy, with
right.
an extra T.
It might be my favorite story in the book because there was a German community and they wanted to honor the father of movable type for his great invention. And so when they established the community, they sent the plats away to be prepared and set them to, I think, of someplace in Cincinnati or someplace. And when they came back, the guy who had prepared it had spelled it with two T's. And, of course, Gutenberg favored with one T. And so the father of movable type is remembered by a typo.
And we call it Guttenberg now,
Guttenberg.
Not Gutenberg.
Right.
as I would pronounce the printing guy.
Well, yes, but there was a referendum later on to change this because some in the community were very embarrassed that they had spelled their hero's name wrong, and they turned it down because of the hassle of changing the name and the spelling.
And all the printing that would be involved.
So he's forever remembered for this typo.
Any other facts as you did your research, Dennis, that surprised you, that were totally new to you about the Upper Mississippi?
Most of the stories were fairly familiar to me from my time on the river. Mm-hmm. The one thing that was new to me was that I had never been to the headwaters in Lake Itasca, up near Bemidji, Minnesota. And there was a long, long search for the headwaters of the Mississippi. And maybe that was the neatest surprise when I got up there. It's a beautiful park with a great old growth trees. And you go to the very beginning of the river, and there's a little half-log bridge, and you can step across the Mississippi River, and you have... You really have to wonder how it becomes the great river that it is later on, just on that modest little start there.
And Dennis, make the case for people who haven't taken the time to go to the western part of the state and just soak in the history and the beauty of the river.
Well, the Great River Road is one of America's greatest highways for touring. And it's not just in Wisconsin either. I mean, on both sides of the river, I sort of make the case that you should just cross over and make sure you stop at every historic marker and overlook, and sit along the river and watch the boats go by. It's a great place.
Dennis, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dennis McCann. His new book is called This Storied River, Legend and Lore of the Upper Mississippi. Coming up, a look at youth justice and prisons in Wisconsin in an effort to find a new approach. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.